Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi again, folks, and welcome to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the blessed guy who gets to be the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community here in Sacramento, California. Also the host of this program, where each Saturday on KFIA Radio, we bring you a wide variety of guests, and we're talking about a pretty big subject, and that is, what in the world is ancient future Christian faith? Today, no exception to bringing you a wonderful guest. She's a dear friend and graduate of the Institute for Worship Studies, among about 17 other degrees, I think, Connie. Her name is Dr. Connie Bull, and she's calling us from Middle Tennessee. Hi, Connie. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Before we launch into a subject that is near and dear to both of our hearts, and that is children and the way we incorporate children into worship, the way we learn from children in worship, I thought folks might be interested in just hearing a little bit about you and your journey. I wasn't joking, really, a minute ago when I said that you have about 17 degrees. It's more like 3 or 4, but I think it would be interesting for people to hear about your journey. You do specialize in children and teaching, education, that kind of thing. So could you just tell us a little bit about your journey?
Journey, that's a good word for how I would type myself. I prepared in college to teach both music and Spanish. At the end of that time, I went on to seminary and finished a Master of Divinity in church music, majored in music in college, and then also got certified to teach Spanish, hoping that if I didn't have a plan A job, I might have a plan B job.
Mm-hmm.
So I tutored one or the other all the way through seminary, finished my Master of Divinity and my Master of Divinity in Communications seminary.
Oh, I had forgotten that you also did communications in seminary. Yes. As well. Yeah, okay.
I was more toward the publishing and editing side rather than the TV techno side, but I did enjoy the communications degree. I've always either been about music or about languages as a form of communication. It's
mm-hmm.
always been very important, and I continued that. Actually, I taught Spanish, the very first thing, and then I taught some public school music. I take very seriously the Greek form of the verb when Matthew 28:19-20, when the Great Commission is translated. Many Bibles have "go you therefore," and in the Greek it actually says "as you go."
Right.
And I have been lots of places. I have been missionary to the public school system. I've been a minister of music in over 10 churches in the East Tennessee and Central Tennessee areas. And I'm currently bivocational as a minister of music and also a Spanish teacher. I have tried to do both. Sometimes the health fails and I end up doing one or the other, but I do think that wherever I am, I'm interested in education, whether it is worship education or communicating with God and helping people to do that in meaningful and, I guess you'd say, authentic ways, not just lip service and not just a show. That's always been important to me. I've been on the mission field in about 5 different countries.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've been several places abroad.
Most recently in Honduras of this year, I was able to go to an orphanage in Honduras with 500 kids.
Wow.
Ages baby to 18.
Mm.
And I was able to do some things there in education, but with the teaching of English and Spanish, and also in worship education, doing some bilingual songs, and it was fantastic. I've always told people I love whatever it is I do, whenever it is I'm doing it.
Yeah.
It is more rewarding for me spiritually to have a hand in helping people to understand the journey that it was for the Israelites to discover God in worship through Old Testament and New Testament and into today.
Now, Connie, like me, received her doctoral degree from the Robert E. Weber Institute for Worship Studies in Florida. And Connie, was it at that time particularly that you began to really focus on and want to dig deeper when it comes to children in worship and in the worshiping community?
Very interesting how that, too, was a part of the journey. When my husband finished his doctorate, he said, "It's your turn. What do you want to do?" And I did not want to pursue a doctorate that just put letters behind my name. I didn't want something just to get a higher salary or status. I wanted something that I could use. And I had already talked to you once. We had known each other even through, I think you were in college and I was in high school at one point when we were in the same church. But you had already talked to me once, and I had met Robert Weber personally at your church when he came to do a seminar. And that stuck in my brain, wondering about the connections and the communications between the people of ancient times and into today. I had been wondering many years, how are we going to stop the worship war between, is it traditional, is it blended, is it contemporary? How will our children continue to be able to sing songs that were created for them to sing as people in the pew? How will they know anything about people who have suffered for their faith in times past? And I began to be drawn to the Robert Weber Institute. And as I went through my classes there, I first had intended to make my thesis a collection of different songs and choruses and melodies mm-hmm. that you could sing to a child and grade them by the appropriateness to their spiritual awareness. I wanted to make a book that would gradate the spiritual development of a child and what you could sing while you're patting them on the back and they're holding them in their arms as babies, mm-hmm. and then all the way up through sixth grade. But when I got there seemed to be much more important ideas rather than just music.
Right.
Of the four things in Acts 2:24 that are said of those first disciples who were worshiping, music is not one of them.
Right.
They were in the works of the apostles and the breaking of bread and the giving of alms and prayer. And music is none of those things, but music can assist with all of those things appropriately. And therefore, I began to be more drawn to, well, what could children do in helping those four activities that are scriptural for what was the New Testament church? And then I began to look through the things that Jesus did with children, or things in the Bible that were done with children. Even from the very beginning in the giving of the Ten Commandments, it says that all the people were gathered at the foot of the mountain, and that did include children. So I began an entirely unanticipated adventure for me, and I settled on the topic of blessing.
Okay, well, let's hold off right there for a minute and remind folks that they're listening to Ancient Future Faith, a weekly radio program brought to you by the Ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. We're talking today with Dr. Connie Bull, who has a special place in her heart for children and the way that children and families are integrated beautifully together, or at least should be, in the worshiping community. Connie, you were talking there before the break about how you went off to the Institute for Worship Studies and what you had in mind for doing when you went, and what you discovered when you got there changed a little bit because you, noticed that there were some needs and areas and or neglect, or maybe some misconceptions about what in the world we are, quote, supposed to do with children in worship. Talk to us about how that focus changed and what you discovered along the way.
Because Jesus set a child in front of the disciples, whom he had not blessed yet. There's no record of him blessing the disciples until his ascension. But he set a child in front of them and said, become like this if you want to enter the kingdom of God. And that's what drew me to also passages that do not let anyone look down on your youth.
Right.
But be an example to the believers. Children cannot be an example to believers if they're not among the believers being an example.
Oh, that's worth saying again. Say that one again and tell us what you mean. Flesh that out a little bit.
My son is currently 13, and that has become his favorite verse.
Yeah.
When I presented it as one that we were going to memorize together. And he says, oh, Mom, say that one again. I like that. The verse in 2 Timothy says, do not let anyone despise your youth. Don't let anyone look down on your youth, but be an example to the believers. In word, in what you say, in what you do, in your love and your faith and your purity. And there is no way that we can help the Bible be actuated unless the children are in worship. They're able to be examples to the believers. If we continue our pattern, at least in North America, if we continue our pattern of truncating off all of the youth go here for worship, all the older people go here for worship, all the college people go here for worship, the children under age so-and-so go here for worship, if we continue siphoning off portions of the body, then the body is not able to minister to one another.
Yeah.
We are not able to set children in front of the body and say, become like this. The children are only brought out for times when they have practiced something for 3 or 4 weeks and they're going to, quote, perform.
Right.
And I so want to say that that is not a scriptural example of children in worship. In Ezra, they were beside the adults crying and repenting over their sins. All the way through Scripture that I have looked, when I saw the word children, I looked to see what was going on there. They were beside the adults. It was a family of God, literally and figuratively. And there's no way that children can be an example to believers if they are not present to be an example. And so I began to find many more things that children can do besides music.
Oh, gosh, yes. You know, you've hit upon an area that is such a core belief for us at Epiclesis. We decided early on, and we're just going to let the chips fall where they will, that we were not going to divide up our congregation along age lines. Now, for the especially young children, mobile through age 5, we do have something especially for them during teaching time. But Connie, we all come back together for the families to be together around the table of the Lord. And in fact, I should mention that we had you come out and visit with us and do a wonderful workshop one weekend about the many wonderful things that children and adults can do together and learn from one another in worship. But this is a core issue for us. And I remember us talking one time, Connie, you said, or maybe it was me, but we agreed on it anyway, that, quote, what we do with kids in worship often says more about us, the adults, than addresses really what they need. And I think you've hit upon a really important thing here that I pray is being rethought in churches. Do you have any anecdotal knowledge about this, by the way? This notion of churches saying, hey, you know what? It's time that we bring the whole worshiping community back together again.
There are books that are written from one position and the other position as far as whether or not to include children. I did discover and read lots of them in lots of different times in my life. Yes, when I was a very young mother with very young children, it was wonderful for someone else to take them on their lap so that I could more focus on and get fed something. I'm certainly a proponent of everyone receiving the milk of the word or the meat of the word at a rate at which they can process that.
Right.
So I think that is fantastic. But I love what Epiclesis does in bringing the children back. I was in a church I visited while I was in Orange Park, Florida, for the sessions at IWS. And it was an Anglican church. They had a separate time for children to work with the text, to enact things in the text, dress up if they wanted to, create things that demonstrated what the parable was for that day. And then they were brought back in to the worship service at the very end so that, yes, everyone could be at the table and no one was excluded. And they got to see the mystery of God, not just the time when the adults don't need us anymore. And I can't help but think that somehow, subliminally, we are sending a message to our children, you don't matter, go play now. When we say, and as I have heard you say, when we dismiss the children out of the service, we dismiss children as a whole and what they could bring and what they could add. I will say the very first church that I saw to do some of this that was not musical, that child doing something that was not musical, I was in a Baptist church in Daytona Beach. And at the very beginning of the service, the prelude was going on, and she chimed the hour on the organ, and a child got up from their seat and went to the front and opened the scripture and came back and sat down.
Wow.
And I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
Because children who are extroverted will volunteer to do that. Even children who are introverted, because it does not involve facing the congregation, it does not involve talking, it is non-threatening, and it is positive. It puts God's word before the people. The opening of our minds, it is a way to set a child before the believers to be an example. Open your mind to what God may do today rather than just to come and check off the box that you've been here.
Hmm. I want to get to some practical things with you in just a moment, but let me just pause for a second to say again that folks are listening to an interview with Dr. Connie Bull. She specializes in children and families worshiping together and the many, many things we can do other than music to meaningfully integrate families and children into the worshiping life of the community. The program you're listening to is Ancient Future Faith. We come to you every Saturday here on KFIA Radio, and I'm the host, Chris Alford. Connie, we've been talking about how there is a trend, hopefully, to bring families back together, to worship together as a community of believers, as families, because as you say, and is scripturally evident, that we have something to learn from kids. They are to be set before us as an example, as you mentioned in scripture, and we can learn from one another by example. You mentioned earlier that you got interested in the notion of blessing, and I surely want to talk about that before our time gets away from us, but I'm wondering also if you could just give us some practical things that people can be thinking about. Well, here are some kind of nuts and bolts things to think about when it comes to integrating kids meaningfully into the worshiping life of the community.
Sure. I mean, obviously there are choirs. That's obvious. But again, I don't think that that's the only spot that children could serve. There are lots of things that you can do with very little preparation. I like the idea of tithing the year. There are 365 days in the year.
Okay.
Divide that by 10, it's about every 36 days you could have a giving of dimes, and you take up the dimes for the collection. The children become part of the ministry of the church and the outreach of the church, or that money goes to buy food for the homeless, and then they go and serve it. There are lots of different things. It also could be a time that every 36 days I'm going to make a goal that this is what I'm going to accomplish in the next 36 days.
Okay.
And then have a time of sharing or a time of testimony within the service. This is what the Lord worked with me on. I'm still working on this. I'm going to need another 36 days on this. But it helps us to tell time by our journeys. It helps the younger people to hear the journey of the older people. It helps the older people to understand what it's like to go to school, a high school, where you can be shot for your faith today. Mm. None of us, at least my generation, that was not a possibility. But there's a lot of things that the kids deal with today that we did not. And I think to keep that in front, again, of the congregation helps us to understand one another better.
So I can tell from what you're saying right now that when we put our thinking caps on, we can really come up with a thousand ways that children can be meaningfully incorporated into worship where it's not a performance,
exactly,
but rather we're learning from them and we're seeing their example and we're hearing from them about what their lives are like, what their journey is like. And if folks are interested in hearing about these things, I know that you'd be delighted to have them be in contact with you, and we'll give that we'll give that contact information in just a minute. But I think the big points to say are, hey, it doesn't have to be about music. It's certainly not about putting them up on the platform and smiling and making them an object of some sort of performance, but rather meaningfully incorporating them in a lot of different ways in the life of the worshiping community. Connie, before our time gets away from us, I wanted to focus in particularly on one element that's especially important to you and something that I'll bet most people haven't thought about. You mentioned it already, but let's flesh it out a little bit. It's this notion of blessing, and not only our blessing the children, which probably we can get our minds around, but also the wonderful idea about children blessing us. Talk to us about what you've learned about blessing and how you have incorporated this into your teaching ministry.
Because of the meaning of blessing from the Old Testament to the New Testament was slightly changed, and because Paul and lots of the others who are trying to defend faith and talk about Christ actually was God and man, they were defending more toward Christ's divinity. And therefore, blessing got associated with Christ, so Christ as the one who blesses, which the church then appropriated over the years as the person who's representing Christ, being the pastor or priest, is the person who blesses. But actually, blessing is not just for the people who are clergy. It's the last thing that Jesus did as he went up into heaven. He was blessing the disciples, and as he was blessing them, he ascended, almost as if this is what I want you to continue doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I think that that's so important is because it was, at least for my son, it was a natural reciprocity. The first time I wanted to bless my son, as they did in the Old Testament, I put my hand on his head. There weren't magic words. I just told God how much I wanted him to know and deepen his faith. And I happened to say, show him all your miracles and help him to know how much you love him and how much we love him. And then immediately when I said amen and took my hand off his head, he reached up with his hand and said, my turn.
Wow.
Which is, my son can't be the only one who thought that was neat.
Right.
A neat idea. Oh, let me try that. Because all it takes is your hand.
Right.
All it takes is your words that are from your heart. You know, and it was wonderful. It was such an experience of humility to have my son say words over me and keep her safe out there in the wild.
So you've done a lot of research about this notion of blessing.
I have, indeed. The Old Testament ideas were fertility and prevailing power over enemies,
right,
wisdom, greeting, benediction. It's mostly used for benediction today, but it was the transfer of power. Moses blessed Joshua, Elijah blessed Elisha. It was respect, it was praise, it was thanksgiving. But all of those nine things were equally weighted in the Old Testament.
Hmm.
Christ, as becoming the embodiment of God's blessing, he is all those nine things for us and wants us to be that for each other. I was at a church one day on Senior Adult Day, a small Baptist church in East Tennessee,
mm-hmm,
and they said, we're going to sit after the pastor's time with children at the front. He said, I want the children to go out and stand next to an adult. And so they went out and stood next to a senior adult, and they said, I want you to hold them by the hand. He didn't say you had to put them on their hands on their head. They said, I want you to hold them by the hand, and I want you to pray for them.
Wow.
And the children did it.
I love it.
And it was so wonderfully enveloping. It was an enveloping presence of the Lord in that moment that God hears children too. You see, when they hear a pastor or a minister say that, oh, God listens to me.
Yeah.
You know, that is what is important, because if they don't know that God listens to them when they're children, then that's when we lose them, when they become older, high school and in college. if going to church always meant going to the children's place, somewhere separated, and the rest of the, quote, church was for the big people, they're like, well, I'm not a kid anymore, and I'm not one of them, so I guess church is not for me. That's where we lose them.
Right.
If they don't know that their voice matters, more than just singing, more than just come out and parade you around, you and who you are and what you have to bring, and God through you is what I need today. That's the message that we need to send our children, both ancient and future.
I guess that's a great place to stop. Although I should mention, Connie, that there's a marvelous book that we have looked at carefully at Epiclesis called Sticky Faith. And
yes,
I know
yes.
You're familiar with it. And it basically says what you have just said. They tracked young adults or children through young adulthood and discovered, surprise, that those young adults who stick with their faith tend to be the ones who worshiped with their families, and that worshiping all together as a family throughout childhood and their young adulthood was a key in maintaining a sticky faith, a faith that they stuck with. And I think all of this discussion about children and the way we are meaningfully incorporated whole family worship is an ancient future idea, isn't it, Connie?
It is certainly throughout the scripture. I will hasten to say that there are those who do not have parents in the congregation.
Sure.
And there was one young man that I was doing some things with blessing in a youth group, and the middle schoolers surrounded the high schoolers, and they put their hands on the backs of the high schoolers who were all facing inward toward the circle, and they prayed for the high schoolers. And I asked one young man afterward, did someone touching you as they blessed you make a difference? And he said, I've only been a Christian for a month, and I'm a high school senior. And yes, it meant a lot to me because it felt like I'd been claimed.
Wow.
Obviously, we can be family to our own, but there are many who come into the church that do not have parents, do not have grandparents in that family, and that person needs to know they can bless as well as be blessed,
yeah.
Be claimed, feel belonging. Blessing is belonging. Blessing means belonging. And again, stressing the 1 Timothy 4:12, our children belong with us of all ages. They belong as examples so that we can benefit one another and then by that benefit the kingdom, both inside the walls and outside the church walls.
Folks, if you're interested in learning more from Connie about the many, many ways that families can worship together and we can bring people back together in the worshiping life of the community, many, many ways that children can be involved in worship. Connie, what would be the best way for us to be in touch with you?
I guess the best way is through the Ancient Future Faith Network,
okay,
which is
good.
A great thing that Chris started.
So we'll send people to the Ancient Future Faith Network site. That's ancientfuturefaithnetwork.org. And just simply zip over to the network members page and you can scroll down. You can see a picture of Connie and you can read her bio there. And you can also click on her name and that will send an email to her. So that's perhaps the best way to get in touch with you, Connie. Connie, it's been wonderful having you with us. Thank you so much for taking the time.
It's good to talk to you about a great topic.
Will you promise to come back on and be a guest again on the Ancient Future Faith Network?
Can't wait.
Me neither. Folks, you've been listening to Ancient Future Faith. It's a radio program brought to you by Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento, California. Until we gather again for another edition, I want you to be thinking about this. Really ponder it. The road to our evangelical future surely does run through our ancient Christian past. The Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Pastor Chris here with one more word before you go. Easter has come and gone, so what's next? Well, there's always something going on at Epiclesis: worship, small groups, discipleship, activities for the whole family. And this Easter season on Sunday mornings, we're looking at Scripture through the lens of Easter living. Just what are the implications for how we live our lives in light of the resurrection? Find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's EPICLESIS.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Saturday at 1 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.